Well, we're still here, so let's talk about it. Last week, I introduced the idea of physician-assisted suicide or medical aid in dying and some other options that people have at the end of their life. Sometimes illness can just be so debilitating. Pain can be so incredibly tough to manage that people make the decision to end their life before their body actually dies. It's euthanasia, as we know in animals. When an animal is suffering, we want to help end that suffering. Ending suffering is essentially what we're talking about when we're talking about medically aided dying, or medical aid in dying, or medically assisted suicide. Not all states have adopted this. Several countries have, and we're going to talk about as much as I can get in because I'm learning every day new information that I really want to share. Why do I want to share this when we're talking about conversation? Well, I would hope that if you find yourself in a situation where someone you love or yourself decides that they want to end their suffering in this way, that you will undergo many discussions and conversations. I will tell you, the rules are extensive. That by itself illustrates why it is so important to have conversation. A lot of people have to be involved in order to carry out this choice. Family members, medical professionals, legal professionals. And so, yes, this is an end-of-life show, and we're talking about it. And here's why. If you've ever lost someone, you may have had the thoughts afterwards of, wow, I wish I could have just said that, or, oh man, I really am so grateful we talked about that. Or, whoa, I learned all this information, but it's too late now. My aim is to help you navigate these conversations so that you will be as informed as you can be, that your loved one is as informed as they can be, and that you're talking together to inform each other, but also educate each other and love each other. Let's dive in. Two choices that I mentioned in a previous episode are called terminal sedation and withdrawing or withholding treatment. Terminal sedation is just what you think it is. It is at the end of somebody's life as they're actively dying. So that means blood pressure has changed, breathing has changed, activity has changed. Oftentimes, the patient is nonverbal, but we know that they can still hear. This is a decision that needs to be made before the person reaches this stage because they need to be able to articulate their choice and have to be of sound mind to be able to execute this choice. Terminal sedation puts the patient to sleep in as pain-free a state as possible so that they can ease into the death that their body has already begun to do, but it alleviates so much of the pain that the patient had been going through at the time. The next one is withholding or withdrawing treatment. So this can be either a treatment that has begun and the patient changes their mind and no longer gives consent, so the patient chooses to withdraw that treatment. To withhold a treatment is to understand all of the options available and choosing not to undergo that treatment. I can think back to my mother, who had undergone one chemotherapy treatment. She got so sick afterwards, she said no more. So she withdrew that treatment. When I was hospitalized recently, they would come in every night and say, here's your medicines. And I would ask what they were. And if I didn't want them, for example, it now is standard protocol to give omeprazole, or this proton pump inhibitor that eliminates or at least reduces reflux. And the idea there is they give it to every patient, or at least it's offered to every patient, so that they don't aspirate or take the bile that you reflux and then it goes into your lungs. So it prevents that aspiration or choking even. I didn't have reflux. I did not authorize to receive omeprazole. So they withheld that treatment. There are doctors who can also choose to withhold treatment. And I'm sorry that I don't know more about that. But there are options, and I guess it can depend on the patient's mental state, medical condition, life situation, and what comes to mind here is a treatment that is so outrageously expensive that it actually prevents resources going to other patients because they're focusing on this tremendously costly treatment. That's another way of withholding. Now, going back to terminal sedation, it's really important to note that it is not intended to accelerate death or cause it. So here's what I learned about that. This is from the Center for Bioethics from the University of Minnesota. They outlined four criteria that are required before somebody can receive this terminal sedation. They must have a terminal illness. They must have severe symptoms that are intolerable, and the patient has been unresponsive to treatment. The third criteria is to have a DNR, or a do not resuscitate, already in place. And the fourth one is that their death is imminent. That goes back to what I was saying before. When a body has hours or days, the work of dying has already begun, where all the organs and all the systems of the body are working to shut down and prepare for death. That would need to be part of this criteria in order to receive terminal sedation. It's not the same as being sedated as you were going to surgery. It just brings about sedation. In this case, the sedation is brought about, but the patient is already actively dying. Now, for withholding withdrawing, here are some of the healthcare professional criteria that is required for withdrawing or withholding a treatment. It says all healthcare professionals should be able to define an ethical approach to making decisions about withholding or withdrawing treatment. They must be aware of their patient's capacity, beliefs, clinical condition, and their preferences. The patient designee, and the physician agree there is no benefit in continuing an intervention. Now note, I didn't say all interventions, it's an intervention. Patient autonomy and respect should continue, but the physician must consider the applicable laws and evidence as well as the available resources, which kind of goes back to what I was talking about in terms of an extremely costly treatment may not be ethical or reasonable to employ for a patient. So we talked about euthanasia, otherwise known as physician-assisted suicide. And there's two kinds. There's passive euthanasia, which is performed when a patient decides not to accept life-prolonging treatments. This would mean nutrition or hydration, and usually they would have an incurable disease that kind of precipitates this decision. Active euthanasia is the one that is actually known as physician-assisted suicide, in which case a physician provides medication or a prescription for the medication to a patient at that patient's explicit request with the understanding that the patient intends to use the medication to end his or her life. This is, as you can imagine, a very tough ethical matter that doctors and medical professionals must consider, families must consider, the patient must consider. It's become politicized, and sometimes that can muddy any information that is out there. But I hope that some of this information kind of makes its way through the political noise so that you can understand the ethics behind it for our purposes today. We are talking about ethics. We're not talking about political stuff. There are many laws in place, and I do intend to cover some of that. For now, we've got terminal sedation, withdrawing or withholding treatment, and the physician-assisted suicide, otherwise known as medical aid in dying. I really like that they offer two forms here. There's active and passive. And where the patient decides, that's it, like my mom did with chemo, I'm not doing it anymore, I was in the hospital for 3 days after that treatment. I don't want to do this anymore. That's not how I want to live my life. The other is this idea of stopping eating and drinking. And that is known as voluntary stopping of eating and drinking. In this situation, it is also surrounded by much legal parameters and medical professionals and family conversation. This setting is for a patient who decides that they don't want to eat or drink anymore. They simply want to die a natural death. Now, it is my understanding, and I will definitely confirm as we look at that later on, but I believe that they can still receive some pain medications while they're undergoing this. I did attend a short lecture on this, and that's what I'll be reviewing in the future, and that's when I'll give you more details. But for now, it's otherwise known as VSED, or voluntary stopping of eating and drinking. This process can take over a week to finish. When a person has stopped eating and drinking, the body starts to shut down, but it's not a uniform way of ending a life. Some people last longer than others. There's so much going on in the body, and everyone's body is different. Everybody's disease state is different, age, etc. I don't think there's any way you can guarantee that if you decide to end your life in this manner, that within this many days you'll be dead. That hasn't been what I have read about. And that in and of itself can create its own difficulties for the family, for the professionals who have to be there, etc. So I hope that you can see that this is a taste of what's available. None of it is easy for the people creating the laws, as I mentioned before, for the people who are trying to follow them, for the patients who are trying to decide if it's their time to end their suffering, and the family members who are wrestling with this decision. I hope that that opens your eyes a little bit. And so for next time, what I'd like to talk about is the state that really started this all. It's the state of Oregon. They have become a template for other states who are beginning to consider this and pass laws such as these. This dying with dignity or death with dignity is not a new concept, but I think that Oregon legalizing this sort of aided death is definitely groundbreaking. It also brings up a crop of problems, and I'm going to share some of that too. Trust me, like I said, this is not going to be one or two episodes worth of information. We're going to take little bites so that we can learn, digest the material, and get ready for the next one. It can be pretty heavy stuff. Please listen with care. Until next time, I do encourage you to go learn more about these ways of terminating a life, whether it's the medical-assisted dying, medical-assisted suicide, however you prefer to say it, or a VSED procedure, terminal sedation, or just withdrawing or withholding treatment. Learn about your options so that you can share that with people you love or help educate the next person that you talk about this topic with. Who knows? But when I come back, I'll bring some more informed literature and information to share. And I encourage your comments as well. If I got it wrong, I want to know. I'd love to see the resources, because I am not done learning either. I really am glad you're here with me today. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening today. You can go to my website for more articles, little news pieces, or a transcript of this podcast. The website is whilewerestillhere.com. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send me an email too. Thanks again, and until next time, take care.